Blog Talk Radio.
I'll never fail, no, no, yeah. Randall positive again, yeah. I'm gonna make it, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Gonna make it, yes, I'm gonna make it, oh yeah. I will never sell out, no, the past is always arise, even when we fail. Over every evil, me must prevail. Someone fi see we sink, now stop still. Come and tell them lies, and I can't them fail. What we are progress, why them a rebel? In a the secret and the most I never we dwell. What's done by the king must be done well, because of who we represent in the most high, the most high. Beginning and the end, the most high, most high. Because of the Most High, Most High. So them say education is the key. So I got a degree, but then I realized that the book stops with me. So this I start to pray, Father, what you want from me? Immediately purpose flash in front of me, Father. Now I start to see what I'm supposed to see. Chainmaker, helping humanity, making something out of nothing. World changer, you birthed in me. The Most High, beginning and the end,
the Most High, Most High.
Alpha, Omega, El Shaddai,
Most High,
the Most High. Say I was weak, but no one strong, because of the Most High, Most High. You see, I won't accept defeat if I work hard. That is why me representing the Most High,
Most High.
Who me representing?
Most High,
the Most High,
Most High.
Say who you representing?
Most High,
Most High. Tell me who you representing? Because of the Most High, Most High. Was weak but now I'm strong, yeah. Most High, Most High. Say you are the Most High, Most High, Most High, Most High.
Thank you, my God. Well, good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord. Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Mike, and tonight we would like to thank you for tuning in and listening to us here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. We have a excellent teaching coming forth tonight, and that's going to be by Pastor Steve Lee, and the title of that teaching tonight is Attitude, the Voice of Your Heart. So as always, I encourage those who are out there listening, please grab pencil, pen, paper, whatever you have lying around, as we get ready to dive into this teaching and take some good notes. All right, Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. And thank you, Lord, for again inviting us into your house, yea, even into your life. We just thank you and appreciate you for your willingness to allow God to impart new and spiritual things to you today. So we'll just go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, I ask you to reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, I ask you to quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Beloved, this morning I woke up at my time for prayer. And yesterday was a long day, and I didn't get to bed at the normal time. So when the clock went off this morning, you know, I said in my heart, okay, it's prayer time. Now, for me, that's been normal for Jesus 30 years now. And I never can remember saying that, even though I had worked up until 3 o'clock and the alarm clock went off at 4 o'clock. And I would just get up and say, I'm excited to get in God's presence. But today, I kind of heard myself saying, okay, it's prayer time. And so God just asked me, said, how's that attitude, how's that working for you? And so that I began to just check, you know, my attitude. And I appreciate God for not allowing me to stay in things for a long time. I mean, even in the natural, God has a way of checking me. I like to drive and get there, you know, at the appointed time. Forget that we should leave earlier. If you have an appointment, get there early. Don't get there at the time. But as I'm traveling, you know, I'll see someone that's driving at a pace that's not the one I want to have, and I'll go right around them right quick, you know. And as soon as I do that, God prompt me and just ask me, you know, where you going in the hurry? Am I not going to be there when you get there? Is not my grace going to keep you? And I said, okay, yeah, I know. So I'll just go on and repent. And then I said, Lord, this is what we've got, kind of like an agreement. I said, Lord, go ahead and bring that to pass in my life so I can deal with the effects of it right now. I don't want the effects of something I did 5 years ago to be catching up with me whenever it wants to. Okay, and so then within like almost a mile, someone will do to me what I just experienced doing to someone else. And I say, thank you, Lord, for getting that out the way, cleaning that up so that I can now go on with you. See, my attitude is going to be the place that I learn and allow God to release into my life whatever he wants to release. So we're going to entitle this Attitude, which is the voice of your heart. And since everything that you do, beloved, is being watched by a minimum of two people, it's being watched by the person that you are reacting with, and it's being watched by God. Well, I'll just go further than that. I'll go ahead and bring the devil in here, because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So then he has to be watching whatever you do so that he can accuse God because you did it. So then we need to check our attitude, because I don't want the devil using a negative attitude from me to bring the negative things that he wants to bring into my life. You know, Jesus said it this way, by your words are you justified, by your words are you condemned? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth that which is evil. That's Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and following. So if that's what happens, beloved, I need to be checking what my attitude is continually so that I can allow God to have free reign to my heart. So then I will just ask a question. If you feel like you are stymied, that things are not flowing as they should flow, as they used to flow, then I would just submit to you that you can quickly check your attitude. It was stated in the field of academia that your attitude will promote your attitude will promote your altitude. Okay? That's something that's just true. People, if you are a studious person, then because you have the attitude of learning, then it will take you and elevate you in the realm of the natural. Okay? Better information, better results. Okay, that's just real. If you have better information, God says, my people, the ones I love, they are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So if I can get better information, I'll get better results. See, so my attitude helps launch my altitude. It takes me to the higher place. If I'm still thinking in a low position because I'm mad, frustrated, this dusted and can't be trusted, all right, then my attitude keeps me in circumstances that I don't want to be in. That's why he says to us very clearly in Psalms 24, he says, lift up your head, O ye gates, and then you will be lifted up. You will go into you will be entering into the everlasting doors. And he said, not only will you have entrance into the everlasting doors, but the King of glory will come in. And who is this King of glory? It is the Lord, strong and mighty. Okay? This is what he wants us to do. He's asking us to lift up our attitude so that he can get us to another dimension. Okay? This is what we want to understand. God is checking your attitude. So since he is, it would be wise for you to check it. You know, everything that God wants to do in your life, he wants to do it through agreement. If you can agree with him, then that causes two to be on earth as touching a thing. And if I got God and my heart connected, he says those two will cause the thing to be done for them of my Father. Now, I do understand that the connotation was that you should get a prayer partner. Amen. I agree with that. But you must first agree with God. You know, God's not food. Come on, this is what we're talking about, your attitude. God's not fooled because you think you can present to him a knowledge of what the word said. Okay? He didn't say, and the just shall live by knowledge. He said, the just shall live by his faith. See, that knowledge has to be applied and lived out. And as you do that, then God knows that the attitude of learning... Because it's real. It's been proven throughout history. Learners are leaders. So then if God can, come on now, if God can cause you to be hungry and thirsty for the word, he says, I can then fill you. And because I'm filling you, I will take you from glory to glory. I will take you from the place of despair to the place of victory because you're learning of me. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. He says, are you heavy laden? Do you have burdens? If so, would you please do me a favor? Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, learners are leaders. He says, if I can get you to have the right attitude, I can get you out of whatever situation you find yourself in. But if you find yourself in the situation and you're frustrated, mad, then you're not having the right attitude, because what is evident is that you don't yet God. You say you do, but your attitude displays that you don't. Because if I trust the Lord, if I wait on the Lord, he said, then I will have this promise working. They that minister or wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will be able to run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not fail. See, beloved, my attitude tells God whether I trust him or not. He's not fooled because I'm telling everybody else I trust the Lord. Okay? I just want you to know that. That this is what God is asking us to do. To understand that there are conversations that happen, that heaven is watching. Okay? There are conversations that heaven is watching. And the word conversation means your lifestyle. Okay? So then if I'm saying one thing and living another, that's the wrong attitude. That's why I have the wrong results. Okay? Want you to check. And I mean, this is the good part about this. Attitude is a one-on-one. It's you and God, and that's it. I display my attitude toward God when I release it in the lives of others. If I go around cussing at others, me and God not connected correctly. Because he said to us, so that we can have the right attitude, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. See, that means my attitude toward God is, no, I'm not going to let that happen, sir. I'm just going to check that. I know when I thought it, I now have to bring that thought into captivity until that thought obeys Christ. And then when I do that, I have the right attitude. I'm not mad, because the Bible tells us in 1 John that his commandments are not grievous. See? And then because his commandments are not grievous, now this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So if I have the wrong attitude, my faith, according to the scripture, as it is stated right there in 1 John 5. See? If I don't have the right attitude, then I can't get the victory that's going to overcome. Just so that you can kind of see this. If I think that his commandments are grievous, okay, then I'm not going to have the right attitude, and then the victory that should overcome the world, my faith, is not working. And again, attitude is something I and God look at. And I can see it as it's displayed in the life of others. If I'm always mad and upset, let me just help you out. Again, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that anger rests in the bosom of fools. Okay? So if I'm always upset and mad, then I'm not connected to God. I'm acting like a fool. Okay? And God does not have any pleasure in fools. Okay? I'm still Ecclesiastes. That's chapter 5. See? He has no pleasure. I told God that we're going to be tight, that I'm going to be right with him. And then I don't do what I said. That I made a vow and I didn't pay the vow. God says he has no pleasure in people that function that way. And I was created for his good pleasure. The men that Jesus said, the men are going to look at what you say. They're going to look at what you do. They're going to see your works. And if your works are good, then they can glorify God. So, again, there are minimally three people watching. Okay? The person you're reacting with to, the person of the Godhead, and the devil. So then you need to kind of look at that, understand that, and begin to function from that position. All right? Jesus said something that was very good. And I'll give you the scriptural references here. I mean, I know I've already given you a bunch of them, but I was coming from Matthew chapter 15. Okay. I'm coming from Isaiah chapter 29, which is the reference for Matthew chapter 15. Okay? So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 15 right here. And So here we go. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 15. And he's saying some interesting things to us. And this is what we want Jesus to let us know, that he's dealing with our heart here, okay? He's dealing with our attitude. And then when Jesus, okay, it says, then Jesus came, okay, my computer is acting kind of funny here. It says, then came to Jesus. Thank you very much. That's what I'm looking at. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Okay? He's going to open up some things to us this evening. Tradition is something that you go back to and rehearse over and over again, execute over and over again. Once you do that, it becomes a tradition to you. It becomes a habit to you. It becomes a support structure to you. See, and if you don't check your attitude, then you will enter into traditions, support structures, because that becomes your norm. Okay? And Jesus asked, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, this was not a recommendation, this was a commandment. Okay? And God has spoken to you promises. The promises have the same weight as a commandment. They are waiting for you to execute, believe, and execute them. And those promises now become commandments. The thing that you're believing for, God has commanded a blessing in your behalf. See? So it's not just something that makes you feel good. Glory to God. See? He's passed that. In that you should not live by just your emotional state of well-being. You should live by a connection where you hear what Jesus heard, where you hear well done, where you hear this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. See, relationship, it allows you to enter into that conversation. See? But if you don't have the right attitude, then you're going to think that the things that you got to do, God's working me. No. He's allowing you to work the things that will bless you. He's given you the answer, and he wants you to work the answer from the position of faith. See, if I go after working the answer because I did all of the little things and got a little check, 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 then I didn't understand the process of growth. I didn't understand the process of faith. See? Works don't get you there, beloved. Relationship that's developed to please God. In fact, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. He did not say faith was meant to please you. Please read your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith was not given to you so that you could be happy. It was given to you so that you can please God. When God's happy, everybody is going to be happy because there's nothing to block. Okay, and I say that. And people go, well, then I need to make sure I'm making enough. You do what he said, he is happy. because his word had an opportunity to come back to him. He said, the word is not going to return void. If I'm disobedient, I did not bring his word, which I'm supposed to live by, back to him. So then how happy could he be when he sent a promise, he sent a command to me so that I can bring it back to him, executed, done, completed. And then when I do that, he will say, now, the blessings of my joy in life. In fact, they will be seen so much, they will come upon you and they will overtake you. All of the nations of the world will see that you're called by the name of the Lord. You shall lend to many nations and not by. That's Deuteronomy chapter 28, what we refer to as the blessings of Abraham. But the reason that those blessings work in Abraham's life is because Abraham, come on, God, thank you, Abraham had a relationship that was so unique and so real that he was called the friend of God. Come on now. See? It's different when you have that type attitude. See? Jesus asked him a question and said, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die of the death. But you change that word. But you say, okay, I just want you to check how the attitude causes your conversation to change. With the wrong attitude, even though God had a commandment, say, it wasn't something that was in a gray area to them, okay? They took that which was completely concrete, stated emphatically, and they made it. Great. Okay? Because we'll say things to God about what he said as, you know, like he doesn't know these things are happening in our life. Well, my mama, you know, they do stuff like this, and that's not good. My mama hurt me, and that's not right. Okay? He knew that, but the commandment was still there before. Okay, let's try it this way. The commandment was in our life before the hurt could ever come there. Okay, so since God's word was first, let's leave it first. Amen. Let's not try to bring in circumstances to validate the word. The word was already there. In the beginning was the word. Okay, I don't know how we believe, how we get to this place. What are we hearing? In the beginning the word might come? No, the word was already there, beloved. In the beginning was the word. See? In the beginning God said. So then I need to go back to what he said, not trying to say, but God, you know. No, no, no. This is still what he said. You know, it's funny to me. We don't go that way when it goes to breath. We don't go and say, well, I hope everything lines up so I can breathe. We just simply take in the breath and use it for our good. Why don't we simply take the word and use it for our good. He sent his word to heal us and to deliver us, or sent the word that it can be used for our good. But we'll argue with it because of circumstances and try to allow the circumstance to validate whether or not the good word that we heard is going to be used by us. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or to his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me. If I do anything for you, you better be happy. It's a gift. I'm showing, okay, listen at what they're doing. Listen at the wrong attitude. Your attitude is the voice of your heart. I'm showing God how much I love because I'm giving you a gift when he gave you a command. Just so that I get it, okay? A command does not end up being a gift. A command will be a command throughout because it started a command, and the word of God is the seed, and the seed produces after its kind. Okay? Those are the things that are in this earth. Okay? Every seed produces after its kind. So how did a command become a gift? I'm sorry, help me. Please understand, I can't see it working according to Scripture. And because you say this, because you have the wrong attitude, you don't honor your mother or your father. And then you say, because of the circumstances, the way it looked, the way I felt, I'm free. And by saying that, having this attitude, you just made the commandment of God of none effect because of your tradition, because of your support structure, which is not the support structure from heaven. He says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you? And this is what he said. This people that think like this, people that function like this, they draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Wow. He said, they come near, and they give what should be honored, what's going to be the best that they going to offer me, but they do not engage their heart. Their attitude towards me is, it's a gift. If I do anything, you tell me to do. I had other options, if you would. No, you didn't, beloved. That's why God called them commandments. He took options off the table. And it says, because they have this attitude, they worship me in vain. And not only do they worship me in vain, but they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. Wow. See, God is always looking at the heart. Jesus exposed the position of the heart of the people that said they loved him, but the attitude of their heart had a very different voice. They didn't want to comply to the word of God. They would excuse themselves from their responsibilities based on the disposition of their heart. Oh, can you see yourself doing that, beloved? That you just throw the word of God away based on how you feel at the time. Because we are justified, but God, you know, they did, they said, blah, blah, blah. And the word, again, we don't bend character. I love the way he says. If we would carry the word, beloved, the word will then carry us. I just quoted Isaiah 55 that said, the word will not return unto him void. So that if I will carry the word, and that word now comes back to him, the word that I'm carrying back to him will carry me. Glory to God. I hope you saw that picture. If I keep the word, if I carry the word, give heed to the word, then the word that I carry, the word that I keep, the word that I protect, it will carry me. It will keep me. It will protect me. It will bless me. Okay, let's look at it this way. As I carry the word back to God, I now release the power of the word to give me what the word said. If I don't carry the word back to God and I just quote it just because I know it, but I'm not living it or carrying it back to God, then I didn't release the power in the word to bless me. Because the word works the way God said it would. You remember in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 and following, when it says that we're supposed to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, that we may find grace to help in the time of need. Now, it's interesting to me, I'm coming to the throne of grace, but I'm obtaining mercy. Grace is God's influence, divine influence, okay, that can be released in my life. Mercy is the approval, if you would, or the release of, okay? People used to say, I Grace is when I get what I don't deserve. Mercy is when I don't get what I deserve. Okay? I did the wrong. I deserved the crime. I got grace. Okay? Same thing. I got there, and I took the word to God. He empowered me to do that. And then I received from him what the word had in it all along. The mercy that is his confirmation that this is now your life. Okay, come on. Grace empowers me to do it. Mercy confirms that this is now my life. Not the other, this. I exchange something. When I take the word to God, he gives me the ability to execute the word in a bad situation. Well, normally I would have given up. But because my attitude is that I want to please you, God. I don't want to please me. I don't want to be the one that makes a reputation for himself. That's what it says about Jesus, that he made for himself. No. It did not say, beloved, it did not say he did not have a reputation. It said he did not make it for himself. Because all of the things that God, all the things that Jesus did, the Bible said all of his works were wrought in God. God did it. Glory to God. See, and he wants us to enter into that same place. That's the trust that he's looking for. That's when he knows that you have the right attitude towards him. He's not just looking for what you say. He looks at the heart, not the sideshow. And that sideshow can be in my actions or in my words. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, part B, it tells us God does not see as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So we think that we can fool God by saying the right thing at the right time. Or we try to maybe cause him to access our actions, okay? Get him to judge us by the circumstance. Beloved, you really don't want to do that, but he's not going to do it anyway because he's going to judge you by his word. That's all he's going to judge you by. Okay. So when we think that if we twist it or bend it to make the situation known to God, that he'll not execute what his word said he wanted to do. He is just, beloved. He's just. You've got to understand that. You know, I'm dating myself. See, if I try to fool God by my circumstances, by the people I hang around, I go to church, but I'm not becoming the church. Okay, you can write that one down. I go to church, but I'm not becoming the church. I'm not being changed from glory to glory. I'm just to people hanging out in the building, but I haven't let the word live on the inside of me. See, I have to become the church. That's what it says in Romans, that we're going to be changed into the self-same image of Jesus. Exact image. We're going to look just like him. As he is, so are we in this world. So that if I'm going to be like him, I'm going to have to be the one that chooses to do things because the word says do it, not because I feel like it. See, that's what I'm saying. When I woke up and I said, okay, it's time to pray. See, that's this basic thing of I feel like it. My discipline is, yes, I'm going to get up. I got that. But God was checking an attitude in my heart. Some words. I was not found in rebellion. Okay? I was found with an attitude that had not been checked. And if I let that go on, then I'm going to find myself in a bad way. I'll be one that'll be trying to worship God with my words, worship God with my lips, honor God with what I say, but my heart will be far from him. Okay. One of the dangers in a heart that's far from God, were not attached to God, is now I begin to question what God is doing. But when I have a heart that's connected with him, then I can ask anything according to his will, and he'll give it to me. That means wisdom when I don't know, according to the book of James, chapter 1. If I lack wisdom, if you don't understand, because my heart is connected to my God, then I can ask wisdom, and he'll give me wisdom, and he's not mad because I ask. He'll give it liberally, and he won't be upbraiding me because I ask, because my heart was to do it anyway. See, these are the things that we really got to work into our spirit so that they become part of our life, that you can't see the difference between the word and my actions. Glory to God. See, I'm not one that, you know, God knows my heart, and I just go, no, beloved, that's not, we don't rest there. I don't even recommend you visit that place. Because the Bible says, to him knows to do it, and he don't do it, to him it's sin. Okay? So you want to talk about God knowing your heart? He's exposing your heart and telling you your heart's not connected, that you deal without a person. He provided you, beloved. Grace is the thing that provides you the strength to do whatever. It says about Jesus in the book of Hebrews, I think it's 12:8. It says that he tasted death by the grace of God. Okay, so that you can get this. It was not what he wanted to do, but he said, no, there's a grace for that, and that grace will cause me to win because grace will supply what's necessary. See? So then when you are being accosted by someone and you want to revert to your flesh, no. Find the grace again. He said, if you come boldly to the throne, you will obtain the mercy, and you will find the grace that's there to help you in the time of need. See? He wants to supply you. He wants to cause you to win. Every time, all the time. And so, there was a song that the Emotions sang, and it says that if you want to know about me, don't ask my neighbors. Don't ask the people that I hang around. So if you see me in church, you shouldn't. I'm not just trying to be friend people. I am trying to be converted. Okay? When I come out, I enter the church to worship. I exit the church to serve. Now I got to apply what I heard inside the building. I got to apply what I heard when I read the word. I got to apply it. Why? Because I enter into his presence to worship, but I exit his presence to serve. I come to the throne of grace, and I obtain the mercy, and now I find help in the time of need. Okay? So God doesn't function just because you got a sideshow. That was another song that was in my generation. Let the sideshow begin. Step right on in. Right? Because this person that was singing in that particular song was saying, it don't matter what you do, I'm so in love that I'm just going to make a fool out of myself. And I'll ask you the question that was asked me. I'm a fool for Jesus. Whose fool are you? Now, somebody, if you would, somebody is allowing you to go through whatever it is you go through so that you can prove yourself. I'd rather find myself in him, prove that I'm lost in his love. Glory to God. Okay, please. If I'm lost in his love, I'm also being protected by his love. You see that, brother? The angel of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in, and they are saved. Why? Because I am lost in his love. So if I'm lost in his love, can the devil find me? Come on now. If I'm lost in his love, that's why Jesus made statements that said that if, first of all, if God be for you, who can be against you? That was Romans. But Jesus said that you are in the hand of God, and no man is able to pluck you out of his hand. Now, please know, beloved, that you have free will and you can jump out the hand if you want to. That's my problem. If I understand that I am safe in his love, I am lost in his love, then I don't have to worry about nobody finding me. My life is here with Christ in God. I'm never going to get to him. He can't. He has to go through God. Not going to work. But God says that when I get into this song, in right standing. The righteous run in, they are saved. So that's what God is asking us to do. That's the attitude of our heart. That I just want to be, that's what death, come on. Philippians chapter 3, and being found in him. Not having my own righteousness. I want to be found in him. So that if I'm found in him, I can safely say, I'm also lost in him. That I will be able to finish the scripture in my life that Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. I'm lost in him. We are one. See, that's the way you allow to come alive in your life. See, I don't react the way that I used to react because I am lost in his love. I am safe in his love. No man is able to take me out of his love. Again, that's what Romans chapter 8 asks us. To say, what shall separate you from the love of God? Tribulation? Persecution? Affliction? Nakedness? Peril? Nay, in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. See, that's the attitude that he's looking for us to display. And that attitude helps us to display the victory through the trial. Don't you remember what they said about in Acts chapter 4? It says that they were threatening the disciples, and then it says that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Glory to God. What a testimony. They didn't take knowledge from them that they knew how to fight and get somebody off their back. No. They took knowledge that they act just like Jesus acted. They spoke just like Jesus spoke. That's why the lame man was able to get his healing, because they spoke like Jesus spoke. He said, I don't have no money. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I'm going to give it to you. In the name of Jesus, arise, get up and walk. Took knowledge that this impartation was now able to be released on target and healing can take place. They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. That they were whooping and beating up on them, telling them that they can't talk, speak in the name of Jesus. And Peter said, we ain't got no choice. We got to say what God said. Why? Because I've been with him. I've spent time in fellowship with him. He has filled me. And he has opened my mouth and put a word in my mouth. And I have to release that word. And as I do, healings break forth. Victories break forth. As I do, increase happens. So, beloved, that's why we are called to be disciplined by Jesus, so that we can release what we've learned. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See? Because then when I speak because of the power and authority that he has resident on the inside of me. So it's not I that speaketh, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. See, that's the attitude he's looking for. That's the position of his heart, because God is not looking at the sideshow. He's looking at the heart. And your attitude will show us in your heart every time. Genesis chapter 4. And I can get started. No, I'm just joking. Really, it's Genesis chapter 4. I can see again. These are just things that we just have to get into our hearing. Over and over and over again. Genesis chapter 4 is the account of Cain and Abel. And I want you to see the attitude that he had in his heart showed up, okay, in his action. Watch this. Verses 1 and following. 2:16. We'll try to get through it. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. And bare Cain, and said, I've got a man from the Lord. And again, she bears brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, and the offering of the Lord, the ground and offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering, but unto Cain, his offering had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, his attitude toward God showed up in what he gave God. Okay, just so that we get it, it says that Cain, who was the oldest son, somebody brought this up to my attention. We always think that Abel was the older brother, so he did what he wanted to do. No, Cain was the older, okay? And notice what happened. Cain walked a little closer with God because he brought an offering to the Lord that caused God's heart to engage. Okay? I mean, Abel brought make sure I said it right. It should have been Cain that did it. But there's a word missing in verse 3. Listen to what it says. And in the process of time that Cain brought of the fruit, he did not bring the first fruit, did he? He brought of the fruit. Abel brought of the firstling of his flock. You see the difference? That shows the attitude, doesn't it? Cain just said, here, take this. Abel said, I'm going to do what God instructed me to do. My attitude is correct. And because that one thing that's missing in verse 3, not the first fruit, but just some fruit. Just give God something. After all, it's a gift whereby you can be blessed. And it says that God had respect unto that which was of correct attitude. And it says, well, I can't have respect. Okay. I can't have respect when respect is not shown. Okay, God is the one to get us to understand. You are in control of what happens in your life. If you don't like what's there, change what you're doing. Change what you're thinking. Change the attitude of your heart. It's up to you. Watch what happened. And then the Lord said to Cain, why are you mad, boy? Why has your countenance fallen? This is what you did. Why are you mad? Because you did it. That's a question I guess you just have to really get serious with that, y'all. Whatever's about to happen in Cain's life was a direct result of what Cain's attitude was. God asked him and said, why are you mad? Why is your countenance fallen? If you, listen to verse 7, if you do well, thou shalt be accepted. And if you don't do well, sin lieth at the door. And sin, you will have to serve sin, his desire, and sin shall rule over you. I want you to circle verse 7. It says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not well, it's because there's an attitude problem. The attitude is the gate, if you would. And notice it didn't say, if you don't do well, sin's in the door. It says, if you don't do well, sin is at the door. And when you don't have the right attitude, then you change your desire to the desire of sin, and then sin shall rule over you. And then, after this conversation, he still didn't repent. Then Cain went out and talked to his brother, and it came to pass while they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother, and he slew his brother. He had an opportunity. God gave him in verse 7 an opportunity to change it. And he did not accept the opportunity to change it. He went and said, I have a right to be mad. My attitude is going to be displayed because of what I am processing by my attitude. And as soon as he did that, the Lord came and said, hey, where's your brother? And then he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Look at the attitude. Okay? Just so that you can see this. Anytime God asks a question, he's not looking for information. He wasn't asking where was Abel at because he didn't know where Abel was at. He was asking, again, God is just so merciful. He was asking him, did you want to take this chance to repent? Again, even in sin, upon sin, he still said, where is your brother? And God said, what has thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And because there is blood, oh God, see, I can preach that for about a year. Jesus' blood is also speaking from the ground. And that conversation is being heard by God. Oh, please get that, beloved. That conversation of, Father, forgive them, but they don't know what they do. That conversation is still being heard by God. Oh, glory to God. So that if you would understand that there are conversations that are taking place in heaven that you should learn how to participate in. See, but you will not learn how to participate if your attitude is jacked up. See, all of these times, in verse 7, he gave him an opportunity to repent. He gave him another opportunity in verse 9 to confess his sin. And he'd rather have the attitude of, you know, I'm going to do what I got to do, take care of me. And then he said, you don't know what you did. Because the voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. And now because of that conversation, you are cursed from the earth, which have opened them out to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said, unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I wanted you to see that your attitude is the gate to what you hear, even from God. Because God did not tell him that he had to go or he was messed up. He said, what did you do? Because of the voice of your brother's blood, now you're cursed from the earth. Which has open your mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. So this is what happened. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. It didn't say it would not yield anything, did it? It just will not yield fullness. It says it will not yield strength. You might get a puny crop, but you will not get fullness. And because of that, you will then start running around being a vagabond, a fugitive. And he says, this sentence is going to be in the earth. And Cain said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me this day from the face of the earth. Did God do that? I don't see where he drove him from the face of the earth. He said, this is the punishment that's going to happen in the earth. And then he said, this is what's going to happen here because you hid your face. And he says, and from your face I will be hid, and I'll be a fugitive and a vagabond. And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me. And the Lord said, okay, tell me what we're going to do. Then I'm going to give another word for you. I'm going to protect your life even now, even after all the stuff you did. I will say, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken sevenfold upon him. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest any should find him and kill him. see God protecting the one that's in wrong, in error. I see God protecting him so that he would still have an opportunity to repent. And then look what he did. And after this, knowing that he came back, it said, Cain went from the presence of the Lord. It didn't say God sent. It said Cain went. Because his attitude caused him to think that the judgment was more than he can bear. All he had to do, actually, would be to satisfy the conversation that was taking place in heaven. Your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Okay, God, what can I do to fix that? How is that even possible? But that wasn't the conversation that his attitude wanted him to participate in. And so I'll say the same thing about us, that we get ourselves in bad situations, but we don't talk to God about it from the position of having a good attitude. We take it and say, well, you know why I did it? Because they did this. Because they said this. As if that has anything to do with what God told you. He wasn't talking to them. He was talking to you. He was not talking to them. He was talking to you. Why are you bringing them into the conversation when God was just talking to you? See, we've got to look at what our attitude does to the conversation that's taking place in heaven. I mean, we can see that God was protecting us even in his error, but that was not a conversation he was participating in. He thought that it's too much for me to bear, when it's evident that God had a plan that was going to give him the opportunity to repent. Otherwise, why do I put a mark on it? Why do I say that anybody that slays Cain is going to have to deal sevenfold? Why go through that if God wanted him to just be punished? See, but because of the wrong attitude, he did not participate in the conversations of heaven. Beloved, God has conversations about you all the time. It says in Lamentations that he has new mercies for you and great faithfulness attached to those new mercies that are there every day. So then if I begin to seek those mercies, those conversations, I will then be empowered by the grace that has appeared unto all men. I will not think that grace is for my mistakes and mercy is for the crook. Again, our Hebrews chapter 4 did not tell a crook to come there. He told you, the redeemed, to come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. So then grace and mercy is not for my mistake or the sinner. It must be a measure of mercy that's for me, a measure of grace that's for me, the faith, the redeemed. See, but because we have the wrong attitude, we understand God the wrong way. God is full of mercy, tender mercies, loving kindness. And he wants to display that to you in every situation. Please look right here and see that God had mercy available for the murderer. Okay? We'll go on back to the New Testament and hear Paul. And he says he was an injurious person. He was a murderer. Paul's own testimony said that. And he said, but I obtained mercy. So God is wanting you to engage in conversations that heaven is having so that you can be blessed thereby. He's not just asking you to just confess a sin so that you can get that checked off. He's asking you to talk to God about the sin so that you can be restored. Again, you're back to Isaiah 54, 55, I mean. It says, let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto our God, who will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon. As he already told you, that his word will not return to him void, but it will prosper in the thing whereunto he. If you don't have the conversations with God, then that word cannot come to you, cannot prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. It cannot accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. But let's begin to go back and look at our attitude, because our attitude is the voice of our heart. Has that voice been stout against God? Has that voice been so self-centered that I don't have time to hear what God is releasing even now, a fresh mercy to me? Is that voice so hard and hardened by the things that I've gone through that I do not prepare my heart with new mercies? The attitude that you have is the voice of your heart. And God doesn't look or see as man sees. He sees on the heart. The choice is yours, buddy. Which will you choose, your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you for your word, a word of encouragement, Father, that we should check our attitude and not have our words be stout against you. Not have the position of our heart contrary to you. For whatever it is that's in us, Father God, we will make that thing bless the Lord. If it's hurt, we're going to command hurt to bless the Lord. Everything in us, Father, is going to bless you. It's going to honor you. So we're not going to further carry concerns, frustrations, and fears. But we're going to allow you to heal us. Because we receive mercies. We partake of the grace that's there to help us in the time of need so that we can walk victorious in this life by your word, your spirit, and your love. We give you praise, we give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. All right. All right, folks. We would like to thank you for tuning in tonight here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. That was a very wonderful, powerful teaching there, Pastor Steve. It reminds me of a talk that I was having with some friends this weekend, you know, about having, you know, a better attitude about things and, you know, how we can, you know, rather than give God glory and honor, you know, we tend to complain or we tend to grumble, you know, about things rather than, you know, just being grateful for what we have, whether good or bad, you know. So it's always, you know, a blessing, you know, to make sure that, you know, we keep our attitudes and everything in check. So, amen. I'd like to say thank you once again for that wonderful teaching.
Amen. Amen. It's my pleasure. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks. We would like to thank you for listening here at Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Please sow a seed here if you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here. Don't forget, we do have more teachings coming up this week. So if it is the Lord's will, we will go ahead and close out for tonight. And we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom.